cost reduction time is we've talked about this a lot, is the most difficult time for the personnel staff or the coaches, because you get attached to the guys and they all can't make it, so that's a tough time.
Beyond the personal part of it, is this route of cuts relatively easy?
No, I don't think so. You have different thought processes, you know. The number one, you know, how do you see the whole thing ending up in terms of the 53? But at the same time, you have the thoughts about, you know, how do we play the fourth preseason game and the substitutions and that sort of thing. So you kind of have to work the two.
Ted, are you surprised that Micah Hyde is catching on? I mean, I know it's early that he's playing, doing well so far as he can in some of these preseason games.
Yeah, he's done fine. You know, he's played a lot of football before. But he got a lot of snaps because of, you know, it just kind of ran out. So he got a lot of opportunity, and he's doing fine. He's a football guy, though.
Ted, how long can you wait on Derek Sherrod?
Well, I don't know. We'll wait till our medical staff clears him to play.
And you're confident he will be able to come back and play this season?
Yes, we are.
What do you think of Johnny Jolly right now at this point? Have you seen progress other than the obvious plays that he's been making?
Yeah, Johnny's always been the same to me. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of difference. He has, like we've talked about before, he has an instinctive ability to play the game in amongst big people. And that's not all the time the case with different players. And, you know, he's the same guy. In terms of when I say that, I'm not talking about physically and all that. I'm talking about, like, you know, his makeup, his football mentality, and that sort of thing. He likes to play the game.
Yesterday, Mike said he wasn't sure if he'd be able to run the ones in this game three, like a dress rehearsal in years past. It. He feels that there's so much more evaluation he'd like to do with players. Do you have that sense that, you know, you wish you had another week to look at these guys?
I think you always do, you know, because like I said before, you get attached to them and you want to try to figure out a way to keep them all, but you can't. But yeah, in terms of play time and all that, who snaps, I'll let Mike address that. But, you know, we still have, you know, two important games to go. We're only halfway through the preseason, so. Got some stuff to see.
Ted, do you think you'll pick a kicker at the end or maybe pick one early and let him work the last week of camp?
We'll see. We'll work on that.
You've done it both ways in the past. When, in 06, I think you picked Dave Rayner pretty early in camp, and then in 07, you let it go right to the end with Mason and Dave. What are the advantages to doing it one way versus the other?
It's just when you get comfortable with the decision.
At the combine, you told us your draft board obviously changes and changes and changes, but at the end, you said it always kind of looked like it did to begin with. Is that kind of how your 53-man roster goes? You might have it up there and it changes throughout camp, but does it realistic or does it go back and look?
No, it changes more than, and I'm exaggerating on the draft board thing, but that's for draft time. I think you always get surprised in training camp and the off season stuff. That things surprise you. You can kind of look out into the future and think this is what's going to happen. This guy's going to take over for this guy, and it's sort of fantasy football. And then you start playing it for real, and it changes. So there are always changes, surprises.
Ed, in the structure of training camp, I think there's only been one night practice. Do you wish there were more night practices?
Night practices? No.
You don't wish there were more?
No. I'm not a big fan. This is just a personal thing. It doesn't have anything to do. I personally think, remembering back when I played, we had two practices every day, and a morning practice and an evening, afternoon practice. I think that having evening practice is important so that guys get ready for, like, night games and things like that. Part of that process, and Mike's thinking, is that, you know, we have several night games during the course of the season. The preseasons are all night games. So you have to, as a team and as an athlete, you have to kind of gear yourself to hold it back, you know, all during the day. These days, like that day the other day in St. Louis, was a really long day. I don't know if it was for you guys, but it was for us and for our team, because you just sit around and you sit around. And so I think that in some respects it's good to kind of practice that, but in a perfect world, I'm get up in the morning and get it done. And I think the team kind of likes that too, because you don't sit there and sweat the practice all day long. You get up and you get at it. And sort of like getting up and cutting your grass early in the morning. Get it done and it's out of the way.
I just wondered, from a fan's perspective, would more fans get a chance to see practice if there were more night practices?
I don't know. It seemed like we get pretty good crowds. I haven't tested whether you get more at night or whatever.
No, so there was talk a couple of years ago about shortening the preseason. I know that talk has kind of started again. Where do you weigh in on maybe two preseason games rather than four?
That's above my pay grade.
Sure, but I mean, as a personal guy who has to make decisions, is four better than two to weigh in on some undrafted guy who maybe comes out of nowhere? Or?
Yeah, I think you can make an argument both ways. A man in my position, you do it however they tell you to do it. And nobody really asked me for my opinion on that. But in terms of evaluating, it's like I said, you have the spring and the summer and then training camp and the preseason games. I still think we have enough opportunity to watch and evaluate to make good decisions now. And I would imagine we'd figure out how to do it if it changed.
Ted, the way that game in Seattle ended last year, has it changed or impact your relationship with Schneider?
No. John's a very good friend of ours and of mine personally. I can't imagine something like that changing. It's just a game.
Is that hard to lose John when he left here?
Sure, I think it's always hard to when guys move. We've had Reggie and John Dorsey and I was here, and then I went to Seattle, and from at some point I came back from Seattle, and there's movement in those kind of positions around the league, and that happens, and I think it's. It's good for their careers and their opportunities to expand themselves, and I think all of them are going to do very well. John is obviously already on his way.
You take pride in that everybody wants your guys? It must mean you're doing something right?
I don't know if they'd like to be referred to as my guys. I think they're probably Ron Wolf's guys.
How big a deal will special teams be when you pick the final roster?
Very important. It's one thing to, sit there and go through the fantasy football thing and say, well, I'll take this. Then you have to figure out how you play the game and who helps you win the games and that sort of thing. But special teams are a huge part of Mike and his staff's focus. And it weighs in heavily, very much. I think Mike's spoken of that several times.
What have you seen in Bakhtiari through two games?
He's done fine. Like all the rest of our rookies, he's done fine. You know, he's played the position. He's a confident young man. You know, it's the NFL. He'll go through some times.
Do you feel good about your draft class? I realize you haven't played a game yet, but do you feel good about your draft class? I mean, is it? Have you seen enough of these guys to actually get a good feel of where?
Yeah, I think they've done fine. As a group, it looks like they're a representative group. You know, we don't know what tomorrow brings, but they look pretty good so far.
Ted, with all the players you monitor in college, CFL, whole personnel, how many do you get the NFL walk-ons? I mean, guys that say, well, he had to leave the school early, he can still play, he's playing for some arena league. I mean, do you ever have time to go through this? What's the volume of those kinds of resumes sent to your department?
Well, Elliot Wolf and his staff do a pretty good job of working through that. Yeah, you just kind of have to stay up with it. This time of year, you know, it's kind of crunch time because you're trying to evaluate all the other players on all the other teams at a 90-man roster per thing. So that's a lot on your plate. But, yeah, there are guys that work out sometimes at a pro day. They've graduated 3 years before, and all of a sudden they get an opportunity, and stuff like that happens.
Ted, Mike said yesterday that you brought in Vince Young and sort of amped up the energy or what have you in the quarterback room. Is that part of your motivation when you brought him in to kind of light a fire under the other backups?
No. If that did that, I think that's fine. Mike would have a very good feel for whether it did or it didn't. So, but I would, like I said before, I think it was just he was someone that we always kind of wanted to take a look at.
Getting back to the kickers that Rob was talking about earlier, how confident are you that whether it's Mason or Tavecchio that you have your kicker here right now?
Well, I think they've both done a good job, and I think they've even improved over the course of the last. I think the competition's made them better, so it looks like they're representative kickers, you know.
You see, however it shakes out, you feel like you've got your guy here, whoever emerges?
Yeah, we'll see. Never stop looking.